All right, so we're talking about your grace still amazes me. I don't know about you, but God's grace still blows my mind. You know, sometimes in life, things can lose their wonder. They can lose kind of their awe, right? A gift maybe can become ordinary, or a blessing can become almost something that's expected. And even good news can start to feel familiar. And if we're not careful, God's grace can start to feel that way too. We sing about it, we talk about it, and we hear it often. But somewhere along the way, we stop being amazed by his grace. So we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to play a portion of a song here, all right? The words aren't going to be on the screen. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Now, no, go to sleep. But I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen to the lyrics. The song is by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Some of you might know it. It's an older song. But I wanted us to have that in our hearts even before we go into the sermon today, because it reminds us that his grace still amazes us. All right, so let's do that. Across the room, if you're online, just close your eyes and go ahead and play that media, and then we'll come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to do that now versus the end, because it just brings us back into it's deeper, it's higher, his grace. Again, it's something we talk about. It's something, the grace is the whole concept of the gospel. But again, sometimes we just can get so onto everything else, we take it for granted. Maybe the reason that we're no longer amazed by it is because we've forgotten how much we actually need it. Grace still amazes me because it's God giving us what we do not deserve and withholding what we do deserve. I'm going to say that again. Grace still amazes me because it's God giving us what we don't deserve and withholding what we do. It's his undeserved favor, his loving kindness, and his powerful help given to those who cannot save themselves. Do you realize none of us can save ourselves? No amount of money, no amount of education, no amount of influence and power. Nothing the world can offer can save us. Grace is not earned, it's not purchased, and it's not performed for. I know for some of you that's hard because you think you need to work and earn and be a better son or daughter, and then God can, no. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift that God, that Jesus came and died on the cross. He paid the price to give that to us. God gave his son so that that could happen. When we talk about grace and his love, we're talking about the heart of the gospel. We're talking about the God who reaches down to the broken, the guilty, the ashamed, the weak, and says this, I still love you. I still want you. I still have a plan and a purpose for you. That's God's grace. He speaks that to a world right now that is swirling into darkness. Guys, we have family and colleagues and neighbors who are dead in sin and lost and broken, and they're crying out for a hope. And we all have the answer. His grace still amazes us and should. Let me share an illustration with you. Imagine someone walking into a courtroom who was guilty, helpless, and unable to pay the fine. The evidence is clear, the sentence is deserved, and there's no legal loophole left. Then the judge steps down, pays the penalty himself, and declares the guilty person free. That is the picture of grace. That is exactly what Jesus has done for us. Or think about this. Think about a debt so large that years of payment could never erase it. Then someone steps in, pays it all, and says, you are free from that debt. That is what God has done for us through Jesus. Paid the price. I will tell you, I remember my parents when I was, I don't even remember my age, in my mid-20s. I had borrowed money from them. I was still single at the time and in ministry and had no money. Like, oof, ministry, wow. Had no money. And I believe I was out in California at the time. And I had borrowed money from them. And I remember at one point I had come home to visit and my dad had printed off a certificate. Dad, if you're listening, I still have it actually. And he had printed it off and it said something to the fact, I haven't looked at it for a long time, but your debt has been paid. And both my mom and dad said, listen, we're not going to have you pay us back. They knew I was in ministry. And it was overwhelming. It was an overwhelming moment to know that I had this heavy weight of this. And of course, I was going to take care of it. But then all of a sudden, for them to come in and pay it. That's what Jesus has done for each one of us. But how often do we take that grace for granted by how we live or how we don't live, right? Today is a reminder, today is a call to get us back in alignment to where the grace of God, we are in awe of what he has done for us. That we didn't deserve it, but yet he gave it to us anyway. Grace is not God ignoring sin, all right? Grace is God dealing with sin through Jesus Christ so that sinners can be forgiven, restored, and made new. You and I, right? And the truth is, that's not just a story. That's us. That's for us. We stood guilty. We had no defense. We could not fix what we had broken. And yet God, in his grace and his mercy, stepped in. If you know Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior, do you remember when you said yes? Do you remember when you invited him into your life? Take a moment right now, and I want you to just think about that. Go back to that moment and how that changed things for you. The definition of grace is just this simple. Grace is God's unearned favor. Now remember, grace is a gift. You don't do anything for it. It's just given. Grace is God giving us salvation, forgiveness, strength, and help that we could never deserve. We couldn't do anything to earn it, to get it. That's what grace is. It's God's ongoing power that sustains us, teaches us, and transforms us. If mercy means God does not give us the punishment we deserve, grace means God gives us the blessing we don't deserve. Now, some of you, that's hard. It's hard to receive. It's hard to receive God's grace, but he gives it out to a gift. All our job is then to receive it. Grace is more than just a definition. It should be our daily lifeline. Grace meets us in our sin and doesn't leave us there, though. Amen? Grace meets us in our weakness and does not turn away. Some of us, though, we don't feel the need for grace. We wake up, we go about our own thing, we do our own day, we make our own decisions, and sometimes include him. And then we wonder why our life appears to be chaotic and out of control, right? And not marked by him, because we haven't included him, right? May we change that today. Grace meets you where you are. Not when you have it all together, but right in the middle of where you don't. God meets us in the middle of the mess. Aren't you thankful for that? In Luke 15, we're not going to reference the chapter. You can go back and read it. But the story of the prodigal son, some of you know it well. The son took his inheritance, wanted to leave and do his own thing, and the father allowed it. But eventually, the son spent it all, found himself in a tough position, and he came home. And I love the part in scripture where the father saw the son, and he immediately began running toward him. Again, the beautiful picture of grace. The son didn't deserve that. He treated the father terrible. But yet, the father restored the son. That's what Jesus does for us. That's what grace does. It shows up in everyday life in really very real ways. It's the strength to keep going when you feel like quitting, okay? It's the patience God gives you when your emotions are running high. It's the conviction that corrects you without condemning you. It's the reminder that your identity is not based on your worst moment, listen to this, but on Christ's finished work. I'm gonna say that again. It's the reminder, this is grace, that your identity is not based in your worst moment. Okay, that's not your label, but on Christ's finished work. Grace is what meets you on Monday morning when life feels heavy. Grace is what steadies your heart in a difficult conversation. Grace is what helps you forgive when it would be way easier to hold an offense. Grace is what gives you the power to choose obedience over temptation. It's his grace that he gives to us. Are you accepting that grace? Are you walking in that grace? Are you living in that grace? This is the moment to check your heart and check your life. Ask yourself that question. Grace is not abstract, it's active. It's not distant, it's present. It's not occasional, it's constant. Like daily manna is his grace. daily. You don't just need grace when you come to God. You need it to walk with God. You need his grace every single day. Let this be a reminder to you. You need him. You need his grace, and you need it daily. I want us to focus on a couple things, and the first one is this, all right? Point number one for today. There's four of them. Grace saves us. That's basic, I know, but let's be reminded. Sometimes it's good to be reminded. Ephesians 2 says this, 8 through 10. 10 won't be on your screen, but we're reading 8 through 10. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can go do the good things he planned for us long ago. God saved you by your own works? No. You being good enough? Not at all. God saved us by his grace when we believed. And I love it that he puts it there. That way we can't take credit for it because we're human and he knows us, right? It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Do you realize how loved you are? I mean, some of you need to let that soak in right now. Do you realize how loved you are? God of the universe who created everything gave up his only son to come to earth, walk through that experience as a human, and then die on a cross for the creation that God created. That's how much he loves you, that he would go through that. God's grace saves us. There's only one way to heaven, it's through Jesus Christ, because Jesus was the only one willing to die for other people's sins. And that's how it's a gift. Grace is the source. Faith is the response, but salvation is the result. You don't achieve salvation. Maybe you heard that a long time ago, that you have to work out your salvation, earn your salvation. No, it is a gift that you receive. You say yes to it. Even the faith we have is a response to God's grace already at work. And when it says not by works, it removes every possibility of earning it. We're not saved by works. We're saved by his grace, which we didn't earn, but he gave it to us anyways. Are you getting this? Is this soaking in? Because it'll change your life if you can get it, if you can grasp it, if you can truly walk in it. No amount of effort can make you right with God. No amount of failure can disqualify you, though, from coming to him either. That means your worst day does not cancel God's grace, and your best day does not earn it. Ugh. That's beautiful. His grace is amazing. Turn with me to Romans. Again, another familiar passage. Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. That puts us all in the same playing field, right? That puts us not pointing fingers at people. That puts us not judging, right? Some of us need to work on that. We're a little too judgmental. We're pointing fingers at other people when we should be looking at the mirror ourselves, right? Working on our own stuff. But yet we're, you know, okay. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, which again should give us a lot more understanding and grace with people, right? Because we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. He freely makes us right in his sight. Again, not because of anything we do. This reminds us that we need his grace. We need it. Justified means declared righteous. Not made better, made right. Declared right before God. God doesn't just overlook sin. He deals with it through Jesus and then gives you a new standing, a new place. Righteousness. That's his righteousness that we wear. It's not ours. We're filthy. We can't do anything apart from him, right? It's his righteousness. And that came without a cost to us, but great cost to Jesus, right? Grace is free, but was costly to our Savior. Some of you here today, you're carrying shame over something God has already forgiven. Why? Let it go. He's already forgiven you. Today, grace is inviting you to let some of those things go. The things you've been forgiven for, the things you've already asked him to wash as far as the east is from the west, he has. Grace is inviting you to let that go. Stop trying to earn what God already wants to give you. Receive forgiveness instead of living in shame. Receive. I know that's hard for some of you. It's hard to receive, but God wants to give that to you. Thank God daily that salvation is a gift. You see, God's grace still amazes me because God saved me when I could not save myself. Same for all of us. So God's grace saves us. Number two, grace sustains us, helps us to continue on. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. You guys doing good? You're getting quiet on me. You falling asleep? All right, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Only 9 will be on the screen. It says, each time he said this, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Verse 10, which is not on your screen. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions. Of course, this is Paul talking. And the troubles that I suffer for Christ, for when I am weak, I am strong. Grace sustains. Sufficient means enough. Fully meeting the need, all right? You will not face anything where God's grace is lacking. It says, my power is made perfect in weakness. That means God's power is most visible when we are weak. So that's okay. Weakness is not an obstacle to God. It's a place where his power is revealed. The very place that you feel limited is where God wants to show himself strong. Some of you here today, you're carrying heavy things. The situation hasn't changed. A prayer that maybe hasn't been answered yet. And you've been asking God to take it all away. God, remove this. God, change this. God, fix this, right? But what if his answer is grace? My grace is enough. Not barely enough, not almost enough, enough. That's tough, right? We often want to remove the pain from our life, but he's saying he's enough in the midst of it. He's not running out of grace, just so you know. He is grace. Turn over to John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says this. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness come through Jesus Christ. We've all received one gracious blessing after another, all because of God's unfailing love and his faithfulness that came through Jesus. We have grace as a gift to be able to function. Grace upon grace, which means a continual supply. wave after wave, day after day, grace upon grace, whatever is needed. You don't need to live off of yesterday's grace because there's new grace today. Aren't you thankful for that? Fresh grace, new grace. So pray for that. Pray for grace before you pray for ease. There's a challenge for you. Stop pretending you are strong enough on your own. We're not. Bring your weaknesses to God honestly. Depend on God daily, not occasionally. Right? We need him every single day. Grace still amazes me because when I am weak, God meets me there. I don't know if you guys were here last week, but I was struggling. I don't know if you could even tell it, but I had been sick. I'd been coming off of a cold and miserableness. And I was struggling. My brain was a mad mess. And I had prayed, God, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me get through it. And I absolutely felt the Lord sustain me through last week. Amen. His grace is there for us when we need it. When we're weak, he shows up and he takes over. Aren't you grateful for that? But we have to receive that. We have to come to him and say, Lord, I can't do this. I prayed that prayer last week. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. He says, I got you. My grace and my strength is going to show up. I don't know what you're needing today, but his grace is enough for it. The third thing is this, grace shapes us. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. It trains us, shapes us, gets us into shape. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. That's a key, right? We got to turn from our godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world. All right, obviously we have to live in it. But live with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. All right. First of all, that wisdom is God's wisdom, right? Thank you, Jesus. And that righteousness is his righteousness. We've got to learn to live that way. Turn from godless living. That's tough. We're bombarded with media and TV and all the things. I mean, sin is crouching at our door all the time. But we choose. We choose to say yes. We choose to open the door, open the window. So we also, if we can choose to open it, we certainly can choose to close it, right? Pray for wisdom. Pray for God's righteousness to be devoted to him so that we can live worthy of his call in this evil world, this world that we're in, amen? Grace teaches us to say no to what destroys us and yes to what leads us. It's not permission to stay the same. Hear me say that, all right? It's power to be transformed. The grace of God is power to be transformed. Turn with me to James 4, 6, and 7. Get another familiar verse, and it says, and he gives grace, what? Generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those are like, literally, step one, step two, step three. Humble yourself before God, right? Resist the devil. Say no to the world. Say no to evil. Push it out of your life. Do whatever you need to do. And then what? Guess what? He'll flee from you. Again, often we have problems in our life, and it's because we aren't honoring the Lord. We're not following the commands he gives us in Scripture. The truth that he asks us to live by, right? Grace is not permission to stay the same. It's power to be transformed. Pride says, I don't need God. Don't we hear that a lot in the world, right? I don't need God. I got my own way of doing it, right? It's a mad mess out there. Pride is running rampant. Humility says, I can't do this without him. Grace flows towards humility. Submit yourselves to God means aligning your life under his authority. Scripture, his authority. Putting your life in alignment with what the word of God says, not what you wish it would say, not what people are trying to rewrite it to say. Putting your life under God's authority. Submit yourselves to God, and then the devil will flee. Grace is not received by striving. Huh. It's received by surrender. I've had to work at that because I struggle sometimes with striving, trying to work hard, to pray hard, to have God hear me. And it's difficult sometimes to just let go of the striving and be. Just be his child. Let grace make you humble, all right? Not proud. Show grace to others the way God has shown grace to you. Guys, this is big, right? Often we accept God's grace and his forgiveness for us, but then yet when it comes to other people, we're holding them at way different extremes. We're not giving them the same grace that God's given us, right? Ugh. Show grace to others the way God has shown grace to you. Choose obedience as a response to love, not fear. Ask God to shape your character, not just change your circumstances. God, change me to be like you, to have a heart like you, to talk like you, to look like you. Those are tough prayers. When you're saying, God, put me into the fire so you can burn off all the junk. I've prayed those prayers and they're tough. And then all of a sudden the stuff comes and you're looking in the mirror going, ooh, I'm sorry, Lord. That, clear that off. Clean that off. Purify my heart. Purify my mind. Make me like you because I got too much flesh still. I say it often. I'm like, God, I'm not dead enough yet. You know, I still got a lot of the world. I'm working on it. But God, help. I need your grace. God's grace still amazes me because it doesn't leave me where it found me. His love says, come, follow me. I'll transform you by the renewing of your mind. That's what his grace does. Amen? I don't know about you guys. This is just so good. If we can just get it, right? We can get it, absorb it, receive it, and then like leave and walk in it, right? Not just hear it and be like, that was good, and then leave and not be changed. His word is to transform us to be in his image, right? We're his image bearers. God help us, right? That we can reflect his image in his righteousness. And last thing is this. Let's see how we're doing on time. We're doing good. His grace sends us. And Jesus is the perfect balance of grace and truth. Grace without truth leads to compromise. Truth without grace leads to condemnation. Jesus sends us into the world to be his representative. Jesus brings both together perfectly. And if we follow him, our lives should reflect him. That grace should go everywhere we go. If you've received grace today, here's a question for you. Are you giving it? I'm not saying to the easy people, okay? I'm saying to the hard people. You know who they are. You don't say it out loud, but you know the people that rub you wrong at work or family members that drive you crazy. Hun, could you bring my water up? But if you've received grace, are you freely giving it? Just pause for a minute. Are you giving it in your home? Are you giving it in your words, in your responses? Or have you received grace from God, but you're harsh on people? You're harsh with people. A little heart check we can all look at. God's grace is not meant to stop with us. It's meant to flow through us. We're the what he pours through and flows through our lives. So do this, speak with kindness. Our world needs more kindness. We could make some huge impact by just being kind. Refuse gossip. refused being harsh. And some of you, maybe you're harsh because your heart's just broken and hurting, and that's okay. Take that to the Lord. He can take your harshness and your broken heart and hard heart, and he can give you a new one. That's what his presence does. Give second chances where wisdom allows. Oh, I want to read this. I just saw this on the way in. It was on Facebook. This was so good, and I wanted to read it today. It was a quote, and it says this: if you're thinking that you don't deserve a second chance from God, it's important to remember this. You didn't deserve the first one. That's for somebody. If you're thinking that you don't deserve a second chance from God, it's important to remember you didn't deserve the first one either. Boy, I thought that was amazing, because some of us get stuck like, I don't know, I don't think I deserve, you know. Well, yeah, no, you didn't deserve the first time either. So get over it, receive, move on. God's got plans. He's got people he needs to use you to reach, right? We get sometimes stuck in our own stuff. Give second chances where it allows. Be a living testimony that grace changes people. His grace, his mercy, right? Be a walking billboard for that. God's grace still amazes me because God does not just pour it into us. He lets it flow through us. Amen. Don't you want to just let his grace flow through you today? I hope so. I want us to be a church where grace just flows, right? People can come in broken and a mess, and we're not judging them. We're saying, hey, you showed up to the right place because his grace is good. His grace will meet you right in the middle of it, and it'll walk you through it however long it takes you, right? That's the kind of place we want to be as we continue to grow as a church community. Arabella, you can come up. We're going to get ready to close, and you're going to get ready to respond to the Lord today. Don't grow familiar with grace, okay? Don't treat it lightly. It cost Jesus everything to provide grace for us for free. Don't assume that you've outgrown your need for it, because we need it daily. You need grace today just as much as the first day you were saved. And maybe you're here today and maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today would be a good day to begin that journey, to say yes to him. If you're here today and you're burdened, you're heavy, guess what? His grace is for you. If you're ashamed, you're feeling guilty, guess what? His grace is here for you. You're tired, you're just worn out. Grace is for you. If you're weak, wanting to give up, His grace is for you. And maybe today the most spiritual thing you can do is just to stop striving and start receiving. God, I receive your grace.